This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
Getting the Most Out of Life by Ernest Holmes. Jesus told us that we should not judge according to appearances, because he said there is a perfection at the center of our being. This is what he meant when he said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." This he proclaimed when he said, "It is neither low here nor low there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Jesus was speaking to the outward man when he said, "Be ye perfect." He was really telling human beings that they ought to be perfect because the Father within them already is perfect. It is this inner center of our being that is meant by Christ, or the anointed, or the illumined. This is why one of the followers of Jesus said that we should put off the old man, which of course means our fears and follies, and put on the new man, which is Christ, or as the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ really means God in us. It means the divine Son at the center of our lives. And this is indeed the healing Christ. And if Jesus was right, we are both safe and sane when we believe there is a perfection forever established, a kingdom of God forever at hand, and the possibility of a good which is available right now. But Jesus was more than a great spiritual thinker. He was a very practical person. He was confronted by people then, just as he would be now, who were sick. They were impoverished and unhappy, and by those who had lost hope and the enthusiasm and joy for living. It was to these people that he spoke. It was to them that he ministered. It was to them that he taught. Jesus taught in the fields and out in the desert, and as he walked by the wayside. He taught in the crowded street corner and by the shores of the lake. He said if we would let go of fear and doubt and gain faith, then we would discover something that we had never even dreamed of. We would discover that there is a perfection, a completeness, a wholeness at the very innermost center of our own being. And since the teaching of Jesus contains the key to right living, it is well to consider its meaning. And in doing this, we should forget all our long arguments and controversies, because they are of no importance whatsoever. We should read the words of Jesus as though he meant what he said, and start all over again with a completely new and fresh outlook. And I am certain if we do this, we will find that the teaching of Jesus was the very essence of simplicity. Jesus said, "God has made you. The divine spirit is already in you. This is your Father in your heaven. And God desires only your good. The Spirit already has provided a law of good and given you the use of a power greater than you are. And if you would only learn to live in recognition of this and in harmony with this law, then the miracle of life and love will take place, and you will find that you are free right now." This is what Jesus meant when he said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So you see, Jesus coupled our knowledge of spiritual truth with the thought that there is a law of good that acts on our belief and brings into our experience those things that we believe in and accept. It might be a little strange to say that Jesus was the greatest psychologist who ever lived, but he was. It might seem more strange to say that Jesus told us all about psychosomatic medicine, but he did. And it might seem even more difficult to believe that Jesus actually told us that there is a key to successful living because there is a law of good which we can use. This is what is meant by the healing Christ. And another thing, we should realize that Jesus was not talking about any particular age. He was not talking about just himself. For in over and over again, he said that what he did, we could do also, that what he was, we may become. It is exactly as though he were to come among us today and say, you are poor and sick and weak and unhappy, and you don't know how to get along with people. Problems of human existence are so great that you sit down in the midst of your trouble in despair. But it is also as though he were proclaiming, this is all unnecessary. There is a presence within you which already is perfect. You need not worry over your previous mistakes, nor live in anticipation of tomorrow as being unpleasant or unhappy. All you have to do is to learn to live here, today. And when you do this, previous mistakes will be blotted out and your future will be taken care of. But he said, before this can happen, you must learn to live rightly. It is in this moment of time that we are to make the great decision. It is in this day in which we are now living that we must choose what path to follow. Shall we live in fear or in faith? Shall we live in confusion or in the peace which comes from a deep and an abiding conviction that there is a power greater than we are, ready, willing, and able to work for us? And I think the outstanding thing in the new spiritual outlook of today is that we are called on to experiment with this power, to invite this presence, and actually to live as though God were here now. But we should not expect to change our whole mode of thinking in just a moment. Even Jesus grew in grace, and frequently he told his followers that it might take time and effort to bring about the great good that they desired. He said this kind comes out but by fasting and prayer. And what he meant was that sometimes when we are confronted with great difficulties and seem to be surrounded by confusion, don't even feel well physically, when we are discouraged and distraught, this kind comes out but by fasting and prayer. After carefully going over all these teachings of Jesus, listening to his wisdom again, we cannot help but realize that he is really telling us how to change our mode of thinking, how to set up a new polarity in the mind, which will attract the good we desire rather than repel it. Jesus seemed to have laid no restriction on the willingness of this power to operate for us, other than that everything we do and say and think should be based in a consciousness of love, in a realization that we must be one with others, even as we are one with God. And this is why he prayed that they might be one, even as we are one. The training of the mind to think differently and to think affirmatively is simple enough, but I wouldn't say that it is very easy, for a thing can be simple without being easy. And again, this is where faith must be used. Faith in a power greater than we are, based on the firm conviction that we live in a divine presence which wishes us only good, and that God has intended that every man should be well and happy and successful. Common sense should teach us that we did not create the universe, nor need we be responsible for the laws of good or nature or God. All that we can do is to use them. But perhaps we have been using them wrongly in our ignorance. Now we are called on to re-educate our minds, to reform our thinking, to make a complete and final surrender of all our littleness and fears and our doubts and our uncertainties to that great big something within us that is always calm and certain and sure. That something, perhaps, that has never really left its divine kingdom, even though our minds have become so confused, so unhappy, and so full of fear. And this is the great challenge. It is also the great adventure, the adventure of faith in a power greater than we are, the challenge of a love that abides forever. Let us say then, in the quiet of my mind, I realize that I am one with the eternal newness of life. All that spirit is creates in and through me now, and my body is alive with the life of God. My body is filled with the light of God. There is no darkness or discouragement, no despair or defeat. My mind is refreshed in that one mind that eternally gives of itself to its creation. All that the Father hath is mine. I open my heart to accept the good gifts of life, the gifts of joy and happiness, of enthusiasm, right here and now. And I open my heart to know that that which is forever ageless is the source of my being. I decree that my body and my experience shall reflect the image of life in all of its newness, and I shall sing and dance through the days of my years with gladness in my heart. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, knowing that my cup is full to overflowing with the only life there is, the life and the love and the eternal youth of God.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.